Well, good evening. Good evening. I'm glad you've come. We have a good crowd, and I appreciate that. Be turning in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 16. That's where we'll begin our lesson in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 16. This is going to be an old-fashioned tag team death match. I am going to preach for a little bit, and then our brother Scott Ford is going to present to us the budget situation as we go into this year. So we look forward to that, and that means I kind of have to keep it relatively brief. So we'll see how it goes. 1 Corinthians 16. Every year we do this lesson, and every year I try to make it different. I try not to just do the same thing. And thinking about preparing for tonight's lesson, I couldn't help but realize that there is a particular false doctrine amongst people who are deconstructionists. Or radical restorationists. Those words mean things. They may mean something to you, they may not. What a deconstructionist is someone who tears something down, right? If I construct my faith, I'm building my faith. If I deconstruct my faith, I'm tearing it down. And I dealt with this a couple of in the end of February in our doctrine series when we talked about not falling for logical heresies. So, we're going to not fall for some logical heresies about the contribution. And this one particular gentleman who's written a couple of books now and has a podcast and is very popular within certainly mainstream churches of Christ, the thing he says that made him leave the faith was this issue. So this is the thing he talked himself out of the church over. So if you think it doesn't matter, it does. I have heard this come from at least two groups of people in the last few years, where they've gone to churches and people have taught it. So it is something that's out there. It's not just preacher talk. It's a real issue. And let's deal with it. And it has to do with 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3. Let's read it. We've all heard it 1,000 times. And then let's make some, let's see what they say this scripture tells us. And then we're going to prove that that's not correct. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 3. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those who you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. Now, one of the things that these groups of people do is if they didn't have traditional, old-style churches, they wouldn't have a reason to exist. Their whole reason to exist is to mock and make fun of traditional churches. And so what they try to do is say, well, traditional churches say this means this, and, well, they've never thought of this, or this other thing. Who really knows that they're right? So there are a couple things they say about this passage, and we're going to talk about it. That this particular passage, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3, was only for the church at Corinth. Now, if you've thought about that for half a second, you know that's hilarious, but we'll deal with that. They also say this contribution is only for the needy in Jerusalem. They say this contribution on the first day of the week is a one-time event and that it is for no other needs in the church. And this one particular gentleman's podcast, he makes fun of kind of the word tracks. If you've ever served, if you're a man and you serve on the Lord's table or in the contribution, a lot of times we fall into word tracks, phrases that we use a lot. And we might say something like, this is for the needy and to help spread the gospel and make sure that all the bills are paid for the congregation, something like that. And he makes fun of that and says, oh, no, this is only for benevolence to saints. Anything else is outside the scripture. Well, that's odd. And the first odd thing that he says is this is only for the church in Corinth. You only have to read verse 1 to know that that is just crazy talk. Because Paul says, as I told the churches of Galatia, so do you. So we know for a fact that at least Paul is dealing with the church in Corinth and the church in Galatia. Then they say that this contribution is only for the needy in Jerusalem. Now, it is for the needy in Jerusalem. That is the primary function of this particular contribution. But that would mean, if their conclusion is correct, that would mean that the Lord's money is never used in any situation in the New Testament for anything other than giving to the needy. You following me there? If they're saying that the only thing we can have a contribution for on the first day of the week is for the needy, and this is their claim, that means no other money can be spent for any purpose ever in the Lord's church. And we're going to prove that that is completely false. And we're going to start by doing that in Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to read these again. I'm trying to go relatively quickly. And if you have comments or questions about this, I would love to talk to you about this. But we'll start in Philippians 4, 15 and 16. And Paul says this. He says, "And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel," not benevolence, "in the beginning of the gospel," that means preaching, "when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help in my needs once and again." The church in Philippi took up a collection, sent it to Paul, not for benevolence, but for teaching. Now, if there were no other verses in the Bible, that would be enough to disprove this theory. But there are more. And let me tell you where this comes from. If we just humbly want to do the will of the Lord, and we humbly look at the scriptures, and we humbly look at the church of the first century, and we say, we want to do that. That's what we want to do. Then these other things aren't questions. Because it's clear, yes, that they took up contributions on the first day of the week. They took up contributions on the first day of the week. We know for at least a year, because Paul told them that he wrote this letter to them in 2 Corinthians a year ago. We know that this was done in other churches. We know this is done in other places. And we know that it was done for more than just the need of benevolence of the saints. The end. There's more. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 8 and through 9. "I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you." That's not benevolence. That's supporting the preaching. "And when I was with you and was in need, I did not burden anyone, for the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need, so I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way." In fact, the Bible tells us that in Acts 18:5, when Silas and Timothy came to Corinth from Macedonia, Paul was able to give himself full time to the work. So again, clear examples of a preacher taking money from another congregation to support his work. And when he says needs there, he doesn't mean his need for parchment or his need for scrolls. He's talking about food and drink. When Paul takes these trips, how is he supported? How does he eat? How does he shelter himself? He's given funds from these other congregations. Back to 1 Corinthians, this time verses 9 through 4 through 7. If you've never studied this passage, and if you think that preachers shouldn't be paid, all you have to do is read 1 Corinthians 9. Because Paul, absolutely, almost the whole chapter has to do with paying men in the service. 1 Corinthians 9, 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 9, we'll look at verse 4 through 7. "Do we not have the right to eat and drink?" So we're not talking about benevolence here. We're talking about supplying our everyday needs. "Do we not have the right to eat and drink? Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit? Or who tends a flock without getting some of the milk?" Paul is saying not only are you supporting the preaching, you're supporting his everyday needs, and you're supporting his wife. He's saying, if my wife goes on a missionary trip with me, it's okay. And Paul didn't have a wife, but Barnabas and Cephas did. If he had a wife, it was okay to take the Lord's money, take it up on the first day of the week, send it for the support of the gospel, and those needs to be met for the spouse and the family. So again, go back to this idea that they literally mock the wording that we use on the first day of the week to say, that no, this you guys are just rubes. You don't really know the scriptures. This is a one-time thing only for benevolence on the first day of the week. Guys, that's just sophistry. And it's trying to make fun of a very serious thing. One more phrase from 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Paul says this, "In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel." Is that any more clear? Not only can you pay ministers and can you take care of their needs in travel and food and drink in their family, but you can also take care of the needs of elders. 1 Timothy chapter 5 says those who serve well are worthy of double honor. We can support the needs of the church and the work of the church. The needs of the church and the work of the church. And we do that because we have a convenient collection so that we have something stored up. And let me do this first, and then I'll try and slow down just a little bit. This is historical documentation of the idea that, do you know what churches, this has never been a thing. This idea of trying to say we don't contribute on the first day of the week is just a modern invention of somebody who's trying to destroy the church. There's no doubt about it. This is from Justin Martyr. He lived 100 years after Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. 100 years. So ask yourself this. If the early Christians understood 1 Corinthians 16 to be only for that local area, only for a one-time need, what's going on 100 years later? This is Justin Martyr describing. He's a Christian. He's simply describing the worship service where he goes to church. But Sunday is the day on which we hold our common assembly. Jesus Christ, our Savior, on the same day rose from the dead. Okay, we all understand that. So when they meet on the first day of the week, what do? And they who are well-to-do and willing give what each thinks fit and what is collected and deposited with the president, which succors the orphans and widows and those who through sickness or any other cause are in want, and those who are in bonds and the strangers sojourning among us, and a word takes care of all who are in need. What do we see? On the first day of the week, they're giving you funds to take care of the needs. 100 years after, 2,000 years later, we have the same responsibility and the same command. Paul said we're to lay by in store on the first day of the week. Why are we to store it up? We're to store it up so that when the need arises, we have it. We understand this in our personal lives. It's no different within the church. And just one more remark on this idea that this is a one-time event for the poor. Jesus said in Mark chapter 14, the poor you will always have with you. So I'll take their doctrine, sort of, and then I'll add that the poor we always have with us. And we'll have this contribution for the needs of the poor as long as the poor are with us. So, see, we can come together in modern times. So the idea that this is solely for the poor, solely for this congregation, solely for a one-time event, is disproven not only by scriptures that it can be used for other things, but it's something that carried on, and even history tells us that it did. All right, two more verses. 1 Chronicles 29:9, just real quickly. 1 Chronicles, and it's on the board. King David wanted to build a house for God. He wanted to build the temple for God in Jerusalem. And God told him, no, he could not do that. He'd spent too much of his time shedding blood. And one of the other principles applied here is David paved the way for the peace of Solomon. You understand what I mean by that? David was a warlike man. He defeated all of Jerusalem and all of Israel's enemies. What did that make possible for Solomon? It made a period of peace when he could do great things and build the household of God. Well, a part of what David Kerr read to us earlier was this list of all these thousands of talents of gold and bronze and iron. This is what, since David could not build the temple, before he died, he went to the people of Israel and he said, I can't build it, but I want to give for it. And David gives out of his own personal treasury. And the people give out of their treasury. Why are they doing this? Because they saw the need to build. They saw the need for that group of people to move forward in their religious service. Guess what, people? I don't know what we had this morning, 83, 81. When you're here with 83, we have a need. We have a need to provide so that we can bring more sheep into this flock. And this is the verse I want you to get from 1 Chronicles 29. Then the people rejoiced because they had given willingly. For with a whole heart they had offered freely to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. Look at this phrase. The people rejoiced because they had given willingly. Isn't that, it's almost like an out-of-body experience. They're the ones who gave. They gave willingly, and then they rejoiced when they turned around and looked at it. We can do the same thing. We as a congregation can come together. This congregation contributes like nobody's business. Praise God for that. Scott's going to tell us about that in just a second. But also know that we don't want just the money. We want what the money brings. And the money brings glory to God. In Philippians 4, that same passage where Paul said that the Philippians were the first to fellowship him in giving and receiving, he says, I don't want your money. Although he needed the money. He needed the money because of the preaching. And he needed the money because of the preaching, because the preaching brings Christians and saves the lost. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. When we talk about giving at any point in this congregation, it by necessity has to talk about money and figures. There's no way around that. But we don't seek your money. We seek your heart, and we seek the benefit that comes from the funds given for the work of the Lord in North Second Street. Brother Scott is going to give our invitation in just a moment, and I am going to get out of his way and let him present to us the monetary gifts that leads to the spiritual. Thank you, Scott.
Good to see a good number. We did announce this morning that we would be doing this evening. It's a couple of months after what we normally do. We've had some changes. We've had some growth. We've had things going on all in our lives and things like that. So we wanted to bring you up to date with the current situation of our finances here. Before we get into the numbers, you'll have a copy here in front of you. I'd just like to kind of address the church here as having been a treasurer here for a while and follow up with what Jason said. Our giving here is tremendous. For a small congregation, I know each one of you visit other places and you walk in and it's usually posted, but for our congregation to have 83 members and we average over $3,000, that's great. I mean, I've seen people that have 100 or 150 and have less than that. And we can't judge them for their situations either, but for what we have, we do very well. Another thing I'd like to do before I get to the numbers is Jim always helps with the deposits and counting the money. So does Ronnie. I appreciate that. Just to let you know as a congregation, these guys... honest, they take it seriously. We don't talk about who gives what. So if you want to make a donation and you don't want somebody to know, have confidence these guys are not going to tell. So it's great to know that. Another thing that I'd like to just mention for a second, we have a lot of young people here and a lot of young couples, a lot of young families. Fixing to start families. Giving may be the furthest thing from your mind at this point. Maybe getting a house, things like that. Let me tell you, plan ahead. Plan to give to God what is His. You may be getting your first paychecks ever. And it's a big deal. You get that combined income and you think, wow, I got all this money. Where'd that money come from? God blessed you with it. He gave you the opportunity for the job. So when you're planning your budget on what you're going to give, take that into mind. Give God His due first. Don't give God, as I've heard before, the table scraps or that little tip you may give somebody where we ate this morning or where you eat tomorrow night. But you sometimes probably tip that waitress more than you give to God on a weekly basis. So think about that as you're planning your life and planning your contribution in the future. And just remember one other thing. No matter how much you give, you will never outgive God. You could give thousands of dollars, but God gives you more. He gave you this life. He gave you a chance to serve Him. He's given us a great portion of health. So don't ever forget that you'll never outgive Him. So let's look at some numbers. What you have in front of you is the 2022 end of the year statement. I'd like to highlight a few of those things. For people who are new here, we kind of do a spreadsheet that says where each of the columns, where the money goes, that is taken in on a monthly basis. If there is a pencil bought, there's a receipt for it, and it's notated where that money went by, say a pencil would go into column number 4, teacher supplies. Or if it was for in here with Jason, it would go under business and postage. So there are places we put items. You'll see all those titles across the top. We have 11 columns. Some of those columns we don't utilize as much as others. But we'll go over these numbers now. As you can kind of see, there's a lot of numbers there. But to highlight some of the things that are important on this sheet as you look over it, I'd like to notate on here that for the year, our contribution, if you follow that column 1 all the way down to near the bottom, about 5 or 6 lines above the bottom, it says $168,556. That was the actual amount of contribution given here at North 2nd Street last year. That works out to $3,242 a week. That's great for this size of congregation. That was what our end of the year was last year. With a budget number last year of $2,625, you'll notice that's up there, and I'll just go ahead and tell you that we have not changed that this year at this point. The elders wanted to keep that budget the same. If they want me to change something, we'll work on those numbers, and we will let you know because it's an open book. The other thing there, you'll notice if you follow that on down, our budget number for the year last year was $136,500. Our weekly, our end of the year, we were over that amount by $32,056. That's the very last number at the bottom of the page in column 1. That's how much over our contribution exceeded what we had planned and budgeted for the year. Throughout the year, you'll see, let me pull this up, there are a few things that happen throughout the year. Sorry, the laser doesn't work with this, but you can kind of follow along. For the year, you'll notice the far right-hand column where it says over and under. If it's a black number, that means that we had excess of what our contribution to expenses. You'll notice there's one column in April that is red. That is the only month of the year last year where our expenses exceeded our contribution. That is the first time that has happened since I've been doing the numbers, that we've had one month. We've usually had 3 or 4. Last year we only had one, which was very good, very, very good. And mainly the only reason for that, if you look back in each column, in April, you'll notice that our contribution, then we had utilities, we had business and postage and things like that. Then you might say, well, why is that big number in building maintenance and supplies, that $3,246 number? We had our interior painted here. We had to pay a painter. That's where that number comes from. So that explains that number for you if you were wanting to know about that. The next month in May, you will also notice a large number in business and postage, that $2,800 number. That number is always going to be big in May because that is the column that our liability insurance for the buildings and the property here comes out of. That is that month that is taken out. Just a couple of other highlights on here because I know if you have questions, I'll be wide open and you ask me and I'll be able to tell you. October, you'll notice in the substitute preaching area there, we had a gospel meeting back in October with our brother from Memphis. And that number there reflects him being here and holding a gospel meeting that month. Okay. The other major highlights on this page here, let me scan down for you, that I'd like to just kind of briefly go over. What really is important at this point is, are we using God's money in the proper way? We're not overextending ourselves or things like that. Like we said earlier, we had a year-to-date contribution of $168,556. These are real numbers on that line, reading from left to right. And then if you look over, we had total expenses of $122,719. All of those expenses came from all of those numbers above. We did have benevolence, and I would like to tell you about benevolence in the congregation here. If anyone knows of anybody who needs anything, a saint, please come to myself or Jim Lahue. We will make sure that that gets handled. We have, as you notice, we have plenty of money here. That is part of our duty as Christians to look out for other members. We will be glad to look at each individual circumstance. And at that point, we will handle that. If you have questions on when you see this, if you have a question on who received benevolence, we do not print who received benevolence. We know who gets it. If you have a question, come see me in private, because that we feel should be kept private, and it'll be confidential. We won't go around and tell who needed money, but we will help anyone here who needs money. I would like to think one other thing that we need to kind of look at here is over the past few years in that one column that had preacher support or things like that. We are actively looking for, we've had some catastrophes in the area the elders have mentioned. Do we know anybody maybe in Mississippi or places like that could need some financial aid? I know a lot of people there are trying to gather things and assess the situations. There were several homes and several cities that were hit hard, one of them being Amory, Mississippi. If you've never been through parts of Mississippi, some parts are very poor, and they may still be assessing their situations. But if you know of anybody, a faithful member or a congregation there that is having problems, please let us know. Because we would like to help any of those people. Like I said, I'll be available for any questions on this proposal. The new budget will be exactly as the old budget, which you see down at the bottom. The numbers there have not changed for the year 2023. However, if David or David come to me and say we need to change something, there may be a slight number change, and we'll let you know. That being said, we're never going to outgive God in what we do, and because everything that we've received has come from Him. The most important thing that He's given us is the opportunity of salvation, and that was through His Son, Jesus Christ. We talk about numbers. We talk about that to our family here. There may be some here that are not members, and you may be saying, well, that's all fine and dandy, but what can God do for me? Well, He can save you. And we're here to help you as a congregation. This group here would gladly get around you, pray for you, lift you up. If you are not in the service of Christ Jesus at this time and God, we pray that you we'll look at your life and come forward, and we will all pray for you. We will hope that you will change your ways and help you have those sins forgiven. There is one thing, though, that we all need to remember, that once we become a Christian, and it's not an easy thing that we need to do, we all need to remain faithful. And we need to do that on a daily basis. And whether if you're having problems in your life or things coming up that you can't handle, call someone. If you are down and you just feel depressed, call someone. They may be having a bad day too, and the two of you get together and it change each other. We want to be looking out for each other because it's hard these days. We have a lot of illness. We have things like that. We need to look out for each other here. And we want you to be a member here. So if you are wanting to join here and join God's church, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.